Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go to the second slide. We'll pray over the tithes and offering. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God is in His kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. Paul presented a profound example of covenant living through generosity of the Macedonian churches. So this passage reveals that true generosity stems not from material wealth, but from a heart overflowing with joy. Even amidst hardship, it is beautifully illustrated how a covenant relationship with God can transform our perspective of giving. Let's pray over the tithes and offering. Father, we thank you for we can bring our tithes to acknowledge all that we have is yours. Thank you, Father, for blessing us. Thank you, Father, we worship you with our tithes. Thank you, Father. We bring our offerings as seeds that we sow, and it shall be multiplied back to us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go to slide number 3. The covenant that remembers. Amen. Now let's read the story here. Slide number 4. So Eleanor was 83 years old when a lawyer knocked on her door. She lived in a small Chicago apartment, surviving on Social Security and kindness of neighbors. For decades, she had worked 2 jobs, saved every penny, and prayed for breakthrough, yet remained at the edge of poverty. The lawyer held a deed. In 1921, her great-grandfather had purchased 400 acres of prime Illinois farmland, held in trust for 3 generations. By 2023, that land was worth $14 million, US dollars. Eleanor wept, not because the money finally came, but because it had been hers all along, but she didn't know it. So she had been heiress, living like an orphan, a millionaire eating canned soup. The inheritance was never in question, only awareness of the inheritance. So the inheritance was never in question that it belongs to her. But till 1923, she was still living in poverty because she was not aware of the title deed. The title deed that's worth $14 million US dollars. So this morning, I'm here to tell you something. You are an heir, not of farmland, of something more valuable. Amen. You are something more valuable. Your identity, you are an heir in Christ. You are the beneficiary of a covenant signed in the blood of Abraham, sealed through generations. So the covenant has been there for us, signed with Abraham, with the blood for Abraham, is fulfilled through Jesus Christ. After Jesus died and rose again, we accepted Jesus into our life. The covenant belongs to us. But if we are not aware of the covenant, it remains like that deed that's worth $40 million, but you still live in poverty. So it's your guarantee, perfected in the blood of Jesus Christ. Abraham signed in the blood of Abraham, perfected in the blood of Jesus Christ, irrevocable, eternal, and fully yours. And your challenge, if you have been living beneath your inheritance, it is not because the covenant is weak. It is because we have not understood what we possess. Just like that lady, Eleanor, didn't know. She had the deed, title deed, but she didn't know she possessed a deed that's worth $14 million. So in Exodus chapter 2, verse 24, God heard their groaning and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's go to next slide, slide number 6. So our journey through this series has brought us to the bedrock. We confronted spiritual forgetfulness, how it eroded faith and leave us vulnerable. We explore the Hebrew concept of zakah, biblical remembrance as a dynamic, purposeful act that produces movement and deliverance. Now we go deeper. The foundation of divine movement, the truth. God remembers because He's covenantal, because of the covenant. He keeps the covenant. That's the meaning of covenantal. God moves because He keeps His covenant. He does not act randomly, nor is He swayed merely by emotional pressure. Amen. When we pray, we sense the Holy Spirit wants us to pray concerning changes. When we pray, when the Holy Spirit lead us to pray specifically. We are praying from the covenant. In other words, he's saying, because of the covenant I have with you, this is what I want you to pray, it will come to pass. So whatever we pray, it will come to pass. So the implication, when God remembers, he is not retrieving forgotten information. He's acting a legal relational agreement. Amen. Legal relational agreement is not just the law found in the land or in the country. Spiritual law, spiritual agreement, spiritual covenant is also a legal agreement. So the result, Exodus 2:24, is not a verse about God's memory, it's about God's faithfulness. And that changes everything for every believer in this room. And the covenant we have in Jesus Christ is a legal and relational agreement. So even though it's a spiritual agreement, but it's still legal. When it's legal, it's a legal agreement, then God will fulfill it. He has to fulfill it. Now let's go to the next slide, slide number 7. The covenant nature of God. What is the covenant? What is the covenant? The Hebrew word berit appears nearly 300 times in the Old Testament. It is not a casual promise or temporary contract. A berit is a binding relational commitment rooted in every character of God. That means his nature. If God is faithful, that means he's faithful to the covenant. When he is faithful to bind us to the covenant, he will never break it. It's a sovereign pledge creating an unbreakable bond. The covenant is a pledge, God's pledge, and he pledged it with the blood of Jesus. He pledged his covenant with us with the blood of Jesus. That means he sent his son to die to legally bind us with the covenant, bind to him. In other words, he must fulfill the covenant. He will fulfill because of his character, because of his nature. He's not just God, he's also the Father to us. Amen. So he's also a Father to us. So we must understand the Father's nature to us. And the covenant means to cut. It means to cut in blood. In ancient Near East, covenants were literally cut. Animals divided. Parties walked between the two pieces. They cut the animal. Two pieces, two persons will walk between the two pieces. But in Genesis 15, when God made his covenant with Abraham, he cut up the animal and he put Abraham into a deep sleep. Then a smoking oven and burning torch, symbol of God's presence, passed between the two pieces. And Abraham did not walk through, only God did. But in ancient times, two persons cut the covenant, two persons must walk, pass through, must walk through between the two pieces they cut. But when God cut the covenant with Abraham, he put him to sleep, then he himself just walked through. So God made a covenant with himself on our behalf, putting his name, reputation, and character on the line. So a berit is not a casual promise. It is not a temporary contract. It's not an agreement between equals that either party can dissolve. A berit is a binding relational commitment rooted in the very character of God. It is sovereign pledge that creates an unbreakable bond between God and his people. So do you see what this means? God made a covenant with himself on our behalf. He puts his own name, his own reputation, his own character on the line. He bound himself, not us, to his fulfillment. That's why he put Abraham to sleep. He knows man will fail. So he put Abraham to sleep. But he himself walked through the two pieces and he bound himself with the covenant to fulfill the covenant. He bound himself, not us, to its fulfillment. He will fulfill the covenant. We just need to keep the covenant, obey the terms of the covenant. God will fulfill it. This is why the covenant is as certain as God himself. Amen. So you see the difference between two persons cut the covenant, they both must walk past the two pieces. But when God cuts a covenant with Abraham, he put him to sleep. He himself walked through the two pieces, saying that I alone will fulfill the covenant. All you need to do is just keep the terms of the covenant. He will fulfill it. For example, when we believe him, he will fulfill it. As long as we believe what's in the covenant, he will fulfill. We believe that by his stripes we will heal. He will see to it we receive our healing. Amen. And when we use the name of Jesus to take authority over demonics and evil spirits, He will fulfill it. His power will drive up demonic spirits, deliver anyone from demonic oppression. Amen. When we pray in the known tongues, praying up the mystery, praying for direction, He will fulfill our prayer. He will reveal His plan, His direction for our lives. So He will fulfill the covenant. So when God made His covenant with Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3, He was not merely speaking to one man in the desert. He was revealing an eternal principle that will echo across the corridor of time. I will be faithful to my word across generations. And the covenant is not just for Abraham. That's why it's for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So three names, one unbroken chain. Now, next slide, slide number 8. So God repeatedly linked His memory to the names of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not as a formula, but as a declaration of covenant identity across three generations. So Abraham, the father of faith, the covenant originator, seed of promise planted by God Himself, because the covenant is given to him. So it was like a seed planted in Abraham's life. Then Isaac, the son of promise. God promised Abraham he's going to have a son. The covenant inheritor, he inherited Abraham's covenant. Proved that what God begins, He continues. Amen? The same. In the New Testament, it's the same. If you teach your children the ways of God, your wealth will be kept by your children, passed down to the next generation after the fourth generation. Whatever God promised you, it can be passed down generation after generation. But you have to teach them how to inherit the promises. Jacob, the father of Israel, the covenant fulfiller. One man's promise became a nation's identity. God promised Abraham, and Jacob becomes the fulfiller. 12 tribes, he became the nation. So three generations, one unbroken chain. When God begins in one generation, He completes in the next. Sometimes He promises you something, then your children will fulfill it. The need of promise planted in Abraham became the nation of Israel in Jacob. Let's go to next slide, number 9. Three immutable truths about God's covenant. That means they cannot be changed. It's generational. It does not expire with one lifetime. The promise whispered to one man became the inheritance of millions. How is it inherited millions? Through Jesus Christ, after He died and rose again. And those who accept Him to be their Lord and Savior. Spanning centuries be without diminishing. And it is stable. His covenant never changes. It's stable. It does not shift with culture, bend with trends, or weaken with time. The covenant made with Abraham is as strong today as it was 4,000 years ago. Because God does not change. Amen. It is independent of emotion. God's covenant is not a mood ring. It is anchored in His character, not our performance. God remembers based on what He has said, not on how we feel or how faithfully we have performed. That's why it's always we pray, we seek to hear. Amen. We seek to hear from God. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Last Friday, we were in the prayer group. And once somebody saw, we were praying for somebody else, they saw a pencil and a paper. Pencil, why not pen? The person's trying to write, make many choices on the paper. Why the pencil? He keeps erasing it. He keeps changing his mind. He writes something, then he changes his mind, then he writes something else. You see? So then we know what we are praying. We are praying for this person to make the right decision after, erasing. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. So what's God doing? What's God revealing? So before we pray, there's no such revelation. There's no such vision. When we pray, then God begins to reveal. So what's happening with that person? What the person is doing is a pencil writing on a piece of paper. So the question is, why pencil? Because when you write with a pencil, you will erase it. That means, you keep seeking the right, to make the right choice. So then, and sometimes we pray, seek God's will, you will know His will. And God doesn't change. In Malachi 3:6 says, I'm the Lord, I do not change. Malachi was the last book, and between Malachi and Gospel was 400 years of silence. During the 400 years of silence between Malachi and the Gospel, the 400 years, God was silent, but was a time of God's preparation. During that 400 years of silence, they have not heard from God, God did not speak. It was during their 400 years, Alexander the Great conquered all the way down to Rome. He was a Greek. He conquered and he brought the Greek language to Rome and the other part of that world to prepare the way for the Romans to take over. And the Jews, the people in Jerusalem, you know, their area in the Promised Land, mainly speak Greek. That's how the gospel was spread. And the Romans built roads. The saying goes that every road leads to Rome. But the roads also can, from Rome, the road leads to everywhere else. See, during the 400 years of silence, God actually was preparing through the natural for Jesus to come and for the gospel to be spread. So when God is silent, there are things that He is doing. Sometimes we may not see, but He does not change. In Malachi, end of Malachi, He said, I'm the Lord, I do not change. Then He says, that is why your descendants of Jacob, why the descendants of Jacob, after Jacob, they all just, Israel began to disobey God. The descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Because I have not changed. That means He was not the destroyer. Amen. God wasn't the one who destroyed Israel after Jacob, after they disobeyed God. God is not the one who destroyed anyone right now on this earth because He is not the destroyer. Jesus said, the thief comes to destroy, not God. In the Old Testament, all the killings, it wasn't God who destroyed. God, many times, you know, one time He just lived His grace. The angels just left their enemies and then the devil just swam and destroyed the enemies. So God's memory is covenant-driven, not emotion-driven. Human beings remember based on how they feel. We can recall people when we feel grateful. We forgive when we feel merciful. We give when we feel generous. But when the feeling fades, so does our action. But God remembers based on what He has said. His feelings are irrelevant. It is God of deep compassion. He's a God of deep compassion, but His feelings never override His words. His word is the final authority. His covenant is the unshakable foundation of His word. Amen. His word is His final authority. When He's merciful, when you come before the throne of grace, unconditional, you will obtain mercy means you obtain mercy. Doesn't matter what mess, how you have messed up. In Hebrews 4:16, say, come before the throne of grace. You will obtain mercy. Come before the throne of grace. It means there's no condition. You will obtain mercy. You always will receive mercy. Then you will find grace to help. Unconditional. His word is unshakable and His covenant is stable. When He says, come before the throne of grace, means He will give you grace to help you because His word is final. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. Slide number 10. This is one of the most comforting and convicting verses in Scripture. God does not change. I'm the Lord and I do not change. Therefore, His covenant does not change. God's unchanging nature, what theologians call His immutability, unchanging. If God could change, then every promise will be conditional. Every blessing will be temporary. Every I love you will come with an expiration date, right? God's character is our security. His immutability means unchangingness. It's our guarantee. His covenant is our inheritance. So God's character is our security. His immutability is our guarantee. He does not change. His covenant is our inheritance. Amen. The covenants of deliverance. There's no way you cannot be delivered from any situation. Doesn't matter what mess or what bondage you are in, there's always a way to get out. He will get you out. There's nothing you cannot be delivered from. Israel was in Egypt 430 years, and God waited until the third, fourth generation when they cried out to God. The first generation was too comfortable. I just watched on TikTok. There are five characteristics of an eagle. One characteristic of that eagle is they do not make the nest. The mother eagle will not make the nest comfortable for the eaglets because when they are comfortable, they won't get out of the nest. So we often pray and wonder if God hears. And this verse confirms that He does. Exodus 2:24. But hearing alone isn't always enough to trigger divine movement. His remembering is the key. That's why in Isaiah says, put me in remembrance. There's a verse that says, I haven't quoted it for a long time, so I forgot that verse. Famous verse, Brother Hagin quoted that verse. Put me in remembrance. It's as if God forgot. No, You invoke God to act when you put Him in remembrance. So it's not about forgetting, it's about actively engaging with His pre-established commitment. What is God's commitment, the Father's commitment to us, is in the Bible. And whatever He has spoken to you personally, amen, that's His commitment to you. Whatever He has said to you is bound by the blood covenant. So God's covenant with us is His commitment. This sets the stage for these 2 points. God heard. Amen. Exodus 2:24 reveals a powerful two-part divine sequence that initiates deliverance and fulfills God's unwavering promises. It is a testament to His character and the active nature of His covenant. First, He heard. Of course, He hears. He doesn't sleep. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He hears. In other words, you have to speak. You have to declare. You have to pray. God hears means you are to pray. God hears means you are to hold fast to your confession of faith. God hears means you have to ask Him. God hears means you have to pray in unknown tongues. God hears means you have to pray the prayer of supplication. It's not that God was asleep, He didn't hear you. No, God hears. Hearing from who? God needs to hear from earth. Hear from you on earth. Amen. In fact, last Sunday, you know, Eden led the after service prayer. He saw something. I don't want to describe it. He saw something. So, he saw something. Very unusual. He wanted to take it for others, but he couldn't. He saw something because God hears our prayer. Amen. And God allowed him to see something. So, he heard. God heard. God hears and God hears. The cries of His people were not ignored. Their groanings reached the divine ear, registered not as background noise, but as a direct call for intervention. And this verse says, God heard their groaning. God hears our prayer. That means we have to pray. We have to pray, and there's no such thing as silent prayer. But that doesn't mean you have to pray very loud. There's no such thing as silent prayer. That means you have to speak. And God remembered, that it's not because God forgot. Remember, man, this was not a retrieval of forgotten data by activation of solemn oath. When we pray, it activates Him. A divine trigger for action rooted is in His eternal, unbreakable covenant. He wants to move on our behalf. He wants to do things on our behalf. But He cannot unless we ask Him. He cannot unless we pray. If we could, there's no need for the subject of prayer. Amen. Okay, let's go to the next slide. The sequence of deliverance. So God heard, attentive listening with intent to respond. God remembered covenant activation, heavenly legal motion. He will move and God will act. Decree manifests in physical realm. The precise sequence, it follows this same pattern throughout all scriptures. This is the pattern in the Old Testament. This sequence, hearing, remembering, acting, is heaven's unchanging protocol. Before there is deliverance, there is attention. Before there is action, there is awareness. And when God brings His covenant into active remembrance, the physical world must conform to what heaven has decreed. Why do you think I say I will not die of sickness and disease? Because I'm holding on to the covenant. I declare, amen, I refuse to die poor. In other words, I'm going to die rich. How rich? Well, depends. Amen. Praise God. I say I refuse to die of sickness. It's because of the covenant. Because by His stripes you will heal. Amen. And by His stripes you will heal. Why should I die of sickness and disease? Right? Amen. The scripture says, He became poor that you may come rich. Why should I die of poverty? I'll die rich. Spirit, soul, and body. Spiritually rich, physically rich, financially rich. Amen. So let's look at this word shama more than hearing. God hears. The Hebrew word shama means more than passive auditory reception, hearing, auditory hearing. It implies listening with the intent to respond. That's why we pray. When we pray by faith and we pray with the expectation that God responds. And sometimes we do not know how to pray concerning the situation. As we pray, God will reveal how we should pray. And what we do is Friday night, we pray. Every Sunday, we continue because He showed us how to pray. So we continue to pray until there are changes. Amen. It implies listening with the intent to respond. The same word used in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, that says, "Hear, O Israel, not merely listening, but pay attention and act." It's the same word used on Israel. When you hear from God, you act. When God hears from us, He acts. When we hear from God, we act. So when you pray, you are not sending a message into the void. You are not leaving a voicemail for God who checks His inbox once a week. Your groaning reaches the throne of God in real time. The comfort of this truth is the tears are registered, your cries are cataloged, your whispered prayers in the dark are heard by the one who never sleeps. Psalm 34 verse 15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are attentive to their prayer cry, prayer of worship, prayer of supplication, prayer of unknown tongues." Now in Psalm, it talks about cry because David went through very difficult times. All right, let's go to the next slide. God's remembrance was the tipping point. The moment everything shifts, He did not remember because Israel had finally gotten their act together. They were still in slavery, still oppressed and not repented, had not offered sacrifices when they were in Egypt. God remembered because they cried out to God and His covenant. They didn't even keep His covenant. In other words, when they cried out to God, God heard with the intent to respond. Then God acted and something changed. Amen. When God remembered, something changed. When you pray, not that He, I just remembered. No, when you pray, He invokes the covenant He has with us and He acts on our behalf. All right, let's go to the next slide, slide 15. Situation of Israel in Egypt represents total human impossibility. No political power, no military strength, no legal voice, no national identity. They were all slaves. In the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, slaves has got no rights, no identity, nothing. They cannot go to court against the Egyptians. Just tribes of descendants from a shepherd who have died centuries before. From every human perspective, their situation was hopeless, and yet God remembered His covenant. Covenant versus circumstance. Circumstance-driven believers look at their bank account, determines their provision, looks at the diagnosis and determines their healing, look at their past and determines their future. Where covenant-minded believers look at God's promise and determines their provision, look at God's word and determines their healing, look at God's covenant and determines their future. Praise the Lord. The power of generational continuity. So Abraham's threefold blessings, the covenant's blessing given to Abraham were comprehensive. They were at least threefold. All three belongs to us through Jesus Christ. Spiritual blessing. Genesis chapter 12 verse 3. Genesis chapter 12 verse 3. All people on earth will be blessed through you. This is the gospel. Through Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ, even every nation receives salvation, forgiveness, adoption into God's family, and eternal life. And Galatians 3:14 confirms, He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Amen. So, spiritual blessings, not only spoken to Abraham, but in Galatians 3:14 tells us, the blessing of Abraham is ours. Amen. And physical health and wholeness. Exodus 15 verse 26 says, I'm the Lord who heals you. This is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. The covenant includes divine health, healing, and wholeness for our bodies. And in Psalm 103 verse 23 declares, Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heal all your diseases. So, healing is not a side effect of salvation, it's covenantal benefit. So, God must heal us because of the covenant. Amen. One of the prophets discovered illness in 2020 after COVID. 2023 was worse, and 2025 she died. There must be a reason, because God must heal. He must heal. He will heal. He must heal because of the covenant. That's why we can declare, I can live. I will refuse to die of sickness and disease. Amen. And Psalm 103 verse 2-3 declares, Praise the Lord, my soul. Forget not all His benefit, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. He heals all. But not everybody receives healing. That's a different issue. He heals all diseases. And the third blessing is financial provision. financial provision and prosperity. Genesis 13 verse 2, Abraham has become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. And in Deuteronomy 8:18 says, it is He who gives us the ability to produce wealth and so confirm His covenant. When you prosper, when you follow the Lord and He prosper you, it's because it's in the covenant. If you live in poverty, that's not His covenant. You're living out of His covenant. You're living out of the will of God. In the past, you say, oh, don't be materialistic, you know. God bless us with materials and financial wealth. He gives us the ability to get wealth, to fulfill the covenant. So in this church, you will be getting more and more prosperous. Praise God. And remember, it says, Galatians 3:14 says, all the blessings of Abraham may come unto us, the Gentiles to us through Jesus Christ. So these three blessings, spiritual, physical, and financial, are not separate covenants. They are one covenant, three different dimensions. And they all flow to us through the same channel, that's Jesus Christ. And Galatians 3:29 makes it definitive. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Amen. What do you mean by we are Abraham's seed? Whatever God promised Abraham through Jesus Christ is ours. If Abraham is so rich, we will be rich. That's why it depends on who you follow. I thank God my mentor is Kenneth E. Hagin. He died rich, he didn't die poor, he didn't die of sickness and disease, and he died spiritually super rich, and he died financially very rich. And he didn't die before his time of sickness and disease. So it's by faith in Jesus Christ. These three blessings, spiritual, physical, and financial, are not separate covenants, amen? So we are Abraham's seed, not by bloodline, not by ethnicity, not by works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And that makes you an heir, not a beggar, not a visitor, but it makes you an heir. You are heir with Christ, amen? All right, let's go to the next slide, 18. The responsibility of transmission. But here is the vital truth. The covenant blessings are generational, but the next generation must be taught how to inherit them. So Deuteronomy 6:6-7 commands, these commandments that I give to you today be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. That was the commandment in Deuteronomy. Without teaching, the blessings remain legally available but practically unrealistic. How many believers live in spiritual and natural poverty because no one taught them who they are in Christ? How many suffer physically because no one taught them that healing is their covenant right? How many struggle financially because no one taught them that provision is a covenant promise? So we must pass the covenant forward, not just in words, but in demonstration. I mean, if God prospers you, that's a demonstration of His blessings. Amen. So our children should see us praying with covenant authority. Our children should see us prospering. Don't tell your children, Daddy cannot afford, even though it's beyond your ability to. Don't say, Daddy cannot afford. You cannot afford, the Heavenly Father can. Teach him how to believe God and ask God for it. You will come to the place that he will have it. Amen. And don't say, you know, and you think you are spiritual. No? Oh, you know, I don't have, you know, I don't have this. If without knowing, you're teaching your children the wrong things. You know, you want to look poor, you know, always, you know, always, you can afford, you want to fly the cheapest flight, squeeze yourself on all those cheap flights. When you can afford it, cannot afford it, okay. I mean, you can only afford cheap flight, then fly cheap flight. But at least you flew. You don't have to walk there. And you think, you say, wow, this person is so rich, you always fly economy. If you're so rich, why can't you be a bit more comfortable? I like to fly business because I don't have to queue, the long queue. Our children should be seeing us praying with covenant authority. Our grandchildren should hear us declare God's promises. Our church should be a school of covenant living. That's what we teach. Covenant is not a museum piece, it's a living inheritance, and every generation responsible for handing it to the next. Amen. Praise God. The new covenant in His blood. When Jesus said, this cup in the new covenant in my blood, Luke 22 verse 20, He was signing the deed with His own blood, making the inheritance irrevocable. No sin, no failure, no circumstances can ever void this contract. Communion is not ritual, it is a covenant remembrance act, a zakah, that activates the same legal reality that delivered Israel from Egypt. The old covenant, written on stone, requires human obedience mediated by Moses, sealed with the blood of animals, conditional on Israel's performance. The new covenant, written on hearts in our spirit, secured by divine sacrifice, mediated by Jesus, the perfect high priest, sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ, established on better promises. Amen. A better covenant based on better promises. Hebrews 8:6 says, "But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood," referring to the Old Testament. "For he is one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises." Not new promises. That means better. That means the old, including more, much more better promises in the New Testament. Not new promises, better. What they have in the old, we're going to have something else better than the old. So Jesus' superior ministry, he's our perfectly high priest. That means the covenant will not fail. Not like earthly priests who offer animal sacrifice. His ministry is eternal and effective. And it is a far better covenant. It's not temporary or imperfect. It's established on foundation of grace and divine sacrifice, creating a lasting relationship with God the Father. We will become the Son of God. We are joint heir with Jesus Christ. Everything that's His is mine. It's a far better covenant with far better promises. So based on better promises, unlike the old covenant reliance on human obedience, the new covenant rests on God's unwavering faithfulness and promises of forgiveness. It's based on faith, the new covenant. Amen. Of course, faith you have to act. A faith you have to obey His instruction. That doesn't mean new covenant, you don't have to obey Him. You obey Him by faith. In old covenant, they obey Him according to the law. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Amen.